It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Tuesday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Colbert, inside the Shirley Street studio. Intern David Warrington alongside today. As things are winding down, David, on the internship. Tomorrow's going to be your last day here. A little remote work on Friday, and that's going to be a wrap. I teased you yesterday about whether or not you'll actually pass, but I tell you what, after Dave Finnegan stopped in today, also a Cardinals fan, and instead of, you know, respectfully walking into the studio and talking about Cedar Falls Tiger football broadcast, as we, you know, typically would be doing this time of the year, you and him gang up on me and tease me about my Cubs, and I'm not here for it. Perhaps you just dropped a letter grade, and you'll have to straighten that out with Dave. And I don't know if Dave will be calling games this fall. It's touch and go right now. But pretty good vibes. I'm not necessarily here to dance on the guy's grave. But Jason Hayward, that coming to a head, that being that news broke yesterday late during the show, and we didn't really get much chance to talk about it. The Jed Hoyer, Cubs president of baseball operations, yesterday about 5:35, 5:40 during in the dugout impromptu press conference before last night's game, which the Cubs won against the Nationals. Don't look now, potentially the hottest team, one of the hottest teams in baseball, the Cubs, said that Jason Hayward, who's on the injured list with a knee injury, will not come off the injured list for the remainder of the season. And at the end of the season, he will be released with a year left on his massive contract that he had signed back in the 2015 offseason, ahead of the 2016 season. 8 years, 200-something is what that was. Do you remember what the number was on it?
Not exactly, but it was definitely up there.
Roughly about $22, $23 million a year is what he made. In those 8 seasons, and obviously never lived up to the contract. But as you know, our baseball conversation with Dave Finnegan grew less hostile last hour. You know, he pointed out, rightfully so, that the Cardinals were the other finalist for Jason Hayward back during that free agency, and they were right there at the table with the Cubs, prepared to hand him a $200+ million contract as well. And so for as much crap as the Cubs have taken for that, what proved to be an albatross of a contract, they weren't the only team, you know, prepared to make what proved to be a bad decision. And Hayward's just fascinating because when he signed, he just looked like an incredible athlete and had pretty much proven as much, up and down results, in terms of power numbers, but gold glove defense, you know, and you're thinking, well, this guy can tap into more as a hitter, and he just regressed. And it just speaks to, for as much technology and institutional knowledge that's in the game of baseball, you just never know. when a guy's going to start turning south on you. And I think it speaks to, as much as I don't want to give a pass on the things I disagree with right now on the Cubs retool or rebuild, whatever the hell they want to call it, I would say there's probably a lot more reticence around Major League Baseball to be handing out these long-term contracts. You know, you look at, Lindor last season. What he signed? How many years did he sign for with the Mets? It was at least eight, if not longer. And he had a terrible season. Now he's bounced back this year. But, you know, what does that contract look like in year seven? Doesn't necessarily matter because they have Steve Cohen, who's the richest owner in all of baseball. But there are certain organizations, most organizations, short of the Mets and the Yankees and the Dodgers, I don't know if there's anybody else that can really deal with the financial blow that comes with signing one of those albatross long-term contracts. So that's going to make it all the more fascinating when it comes to this next offseason and the rumors of the Cubs being in on the group of shortstops, Trey Turner, Xander Bogaerts, Carlos Correa, Dansby Swanson. Is Jed Hoyer going to have the chutzpah to go to Tom Ricketts and say, hey, I need you to greenlight an eight-year deal at $35 million a year for one Carlos Correa? And he goes, really? Well, you just had me release Jason Hayward with a year left on his contract at $23 million. So setting your baseball cap down and putting your business cap on, Hayward's just a fascinating case study of the business of baseball. Great guy. Has done outstanding work for the community of Chicago and helping troubled youth. But I am very happy that he is not going to play baseball for the Cubs again, because if the Cubs are going to be good soon, sooner than later, he was not going to be a part of the team. So just waiting for that domino to fall, and it did yesterday. And it was like something that you knew was going to happen, but you're like, why the hell is it taking so long? But then again, you know, the Cardinals will probably sign him for the veterans minimum this offseason, and, you know, he'll get 300 at-bats next year and hit like 280. For the Cardinals and right off into the sunset or something like that. But wanted to talk a little Hayward here at the top of the show. And speaking of baseball, Cubs-Reds Field of Dreams game coming up on Thursday night. Of course, that's a made-for-TV event. I mean, I'll acknowledge that. You know, obviously us being the, a Cubs affiliate radio station, I mean, I'm not going to hold it against anybody if they go, sorry, Cole, the Cubs aren't going to be on the radio in the garage or, you know, in the man cave on Thursday night. You know, I'll be watching that game. And you watched last year's game, David?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, you could not have scripted that game any better in the way that played out. And I thought the ball really flew. You know, there's some parks where the ball really flies. I thought the ball just really flew well there in Dyersville. So that's something I'm going to be interested to see is, you know, if the ball's still coming off the bat as hot as it seemed like last year when the White Sox beat the Yankees on that Tim Anderson walk-off home run. But tonight, and you've got details on that, a couple Iowa-based minor league teams are going to be playing at the Dyersville Stadium at the Field of Dreams, and that's going to be available. That's on TV. David will have the details on that in just a moment if you're interested in tuning into that. But we do have Cubs baseball tonight, game two of the series against the Nationals at Wrigley Field. And that's a 6:30 pregame and a 7:05 first pitch. Marcus Stroman on the mound for the Cubs tonight. So look forward to that shortly after we're done here today. The back-to-camp series continues as high school football coaches continue to join Cole and Company ahead of the 2022 season. Dale Eastman, Janesville high school football coach, is going to join us in the next segment. Janesville coming off a really good 7-1 season, although I would bet that they're looking for more in terms of playoff success. They came up short in the first round of the 8-player playoffs to New Elfonda last season. So Coach Eastman will join us and give us the preview on the Wildcats in the next segment. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. That's when you get Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. Come back on the other side of that break and Denver high school football coach Rhett Barrett, friend of the show. He will join and tell us about the Cyclones, who went 7-1 last year, and kind of a similar thing to Janesville, like I just mentioned. Denver came into the playoffs with expectations off a good regular season and then lost in the first round of the Class 1A playoffs to MFL Marmac. So we're going to get our back-to-camp previews from Janesville high school football coach Dale Eastman in the second segment and Rhett Barrett, Denver high school football coach, in the third segment today. And just to get the particulars in, like usual, however you are tuned in, I appreciate it, whether that's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. Like the Facebook page, type in 1650TheFan. You'll find it. Hammer the like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. Make sure you bookmark the website, 1650thefan.com. David had a couple stories posted up there this afternoon. Like usual, some fresh content up there this morning. Local, statewide sports content. All of these interviews with these high school football coaches on the website. So if you missed any of them, you know, heard from a friend that, you know, Coach so-and-so was on, Cole and Company, and you're like, dang it, I missed it. Don't worry. That's why you got to have the website bookmarked and just check it out. Find that podcast section, and you'll be able to find everything on demand. If you want to call the show with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. You could also email the show if you'd rather do that than call, by all means. Fire away. Questions, comments, maybe there's something or someone you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. Fire away. C-O-L-E, Cole, at 1650thefan.com is the email address. David, with a very light stack of area sports news and scores here in just a short moment. After that, of course, we take the first time out ahead of Coach Eastman joining the show. That's when you get a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN Action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as forecast for the rest of this beautiful Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday. Of course, after we're done talking with Coach Rhett Barrett of Denver High School in the third segment, that's when we get you that final timeout, which includes an NFL Network update and Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. So that is what is on the agenda, boys and girls, for this Tuesday of August 9th of 2022. David, by all means, area sports news and scores, take it away.
The Iowa State basketball team's top five 2023 recruiting class has added its fourth member. Caden Fish, a 6'6" forward from Kansas City, has committed to TJ Otzelberger's program. Last year as a junior at Staley High School, he averaged 11 points and 5 rebounds a game while shooting 60% from the field. Fish has a 7'3" wingspan. Fish joins a loaded 2023 class that is committed to Iowa State, with four-star guard Jelani Hamilton, four-star forward Milan Momcilovic, as well as five-star forward Omaha Ballou. A pair of in-state minor league teams will meet tonight at the MLB ballpark near the historic Field of Dreams movie site in Dyersville. The Cedar Rapids Colonels will take on the Quad Cities River Bandits. Both teams will wear throwback jerseys tonight that replicate their 1919 uniforms. The host River Bandits will become the Davenport Blue Sox, while the visiting Colonels will become the Cedar Rapids Bunnies for this evening's game. The Chicago Cubs will take on the Cincinnati Reds in the second MLB at Field of Dreams game on Thursday, and you can hear that game right here on 1650 The Fan. The Iowa football team will host its annual Kids Day at Kinnick this Saturday. The open practice will begin at noon, with gates opening to the public at 11 a.m. Admission to the event is free for all fans. Free parking will be available on hard surface lots, while normal ramp fees will be charged. Concession stands will be open, but all concession stands are cashless, with only debit or credit cards accepted. Kinnick Stadium's clear bag policy will be in effect. And last but not least, the Waterloo Bucks opened a 6-game homestand to close out the regular season as they hosted St. Cloud last night in Northwoods League play. The Rocks broke a 3-3 tie with 6 runs in the ninth as they defeated the Bucks 9-3. It was the Bucks' third straight loss as they fall to 6-23 in the second half of the season. Waterloo and St. Cloud will finish their 2-game series tonight. Game time at Riverfront Stadium is 6:35.
Great work, David. We'll take this time out, and we'll come back and continue the back-to-camp series. We're going camping with Janesville High School football coach Dale Eastman joins us next on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Well, Mekhi Becton worked his way back from an injury last year and got into better shape, but now it's all for naught with a former first-round pick likely to miss the upcoming season with a fractured right kneecap. Becton played 14 games his rookie year but was hurt in last year's season opener. Another tough blow came from Browns camp where all-pro receiver and return man Jakeem Grant is feared to have suffered a torn Achilles. Jason Kelce underwent a procedure on his elbow today, but the Eagles center is expected to be ready for week one. NFL owners unanimously approved the sale of the Broncos from the Bolin family to Rob Walton. The White Sox are 2.5 games back in the AL Central and 2.5, or I should say 2 back in the AL Central, 2.5 in the wild card race. They have lost shortstop Tim Anderson for 4 to 6 weeks with a torn ligament in his hand. He could need surgery. The Sox currently in action and trailing the Royals by a score of 2-1 in the top half of the sixth. Red Sox, Chris Sale already out with a broken finger on his left hand, done for the season after a broken right wrist suffered in a bike accident last week. He will undergo surgery. And Serena Williams set to retire following the U.S. Open, which was the site of the first of her 23 major titles. I'm Rich Ackerman.
It's Bill Ryder. CBS Sports Radio has moved to SiriusXM channel 158. Or listen to us on your local affiliate. Find your station at odyssey.com/stations.
CBS Sports Radio.
Coverage of Cubs baseball begins at 6:30 on 1650 The Fan.
Pardon me, just blew in. I'm Zook.
I'm Freddy, and those are my fellow butts.
Wow, there are so many here. What's going on?
We've been hanging here for months. This place never cleans their lot. Rocky over there is throwing a party.
Let's kick it!
You should go meet the other rappers.
Oh, no! Looks like the party's over, folks. There's an A-Line sweeper.
I'm Les with A-Line Striping and Sweeping. Make sure the only parties happening in your parking lot are organized by you. Call or go online to alinestriping.com.
You ever seen this sign in our neighborhood? Drive like your kids live here. Drive.
John Crist and friends.
Why don't you stop putting signs all over this neighborhood, Karen, and start disciplining your children? How about you do that? Matter of fact, make it easier. Just tell your kids, play like there's cars driving through this neighborhood.
Don't miss John, Crist, and Friends in the Fresh Cuts Comedy Tour with special guest Dusty Slay, August 17th, on stage at Iowa State Fair Grandstand in Des Moines.
If you get engaged recently, just please do us all a favor. Don't set out a save the date, okay? Just stop that, okay? Just text us. We'll put it in the calendar. First of all, you want me to put this on my fridge? You know when I go to my fridge? When I'm sad. To stare at your happiness, or I'm looking for a hot pocket after a failed Tinder date.
Reserve tickets are on sale now at iowastatefair.org and at the Iowa State Fair ticket office. Convenience fees apply to all tickets. August 17th, Iowa State Fair Grandstand in Des Moines. Don't miss John, Crist, and Friends.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Heads up, sports bettors. Right now you can try VSiN All Access free for 30 days with no credit card required. Visit vsin.com/freemonth to sign up now. Here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The Chiefs and Bears continuing to get set for their preseason matchup coming up on Saturday. It'll be the preseason opener for each team being played at Soldier Field in Chicago. Chicago is favored by 3.5, the over-under at 35. Baseball tonight, the Cubs coming off a 6-3 win against the Nationals. That series does continue this evening, and the Cubs are considered the favorites, paying out at minus 196 on the money line. Also tonight, the Cardinals are in Colorado to play the Rockies. The Cardinals are minus 180 favorites.
For the latest odds all the time, visit VSiN.com. I'm Matt Pauly. This has been your Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Clear skies and quiet tonight with lows around 58. Southeasterly winds at around 5 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 86 tomorrow. Ample sunshine expected. Clear skies again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 64. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Thursday with daytime highs approaching 81. 77 Friday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now it's 80.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
A lot of ways to listen to the show and all of our great shows here on The Fan. However you do it, thanks so much. Welcome back. Back to Camp series continues. As last week, we were talking with the four Metro High School football coaches to get it started, and we have made our way outside the Metro this week. And starting yesterday, as we had Colby Yoder, Don Bosco, head football coach on the show, and I'm drawing a blank right now, David. Who the hell else did we have on the show yesterday?
It was Gladbrook Rhinebeck head coach.
My guy, John Olson. How could I forget about John? My apologies, John. Please forgive me. And right now, we're sticking with the eight-player flavor right now is Janesville High School football coach Dale Eastman joins a Tuesday edition of the show. Coach Eastman, how you doing today? Thanks for being here.
Doing pretty well today. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking forward to learning more about your Wildcats. You're coming off of a 7-1 record last season and then a first-round exit in the eight-player playoffs to a really good Newell Fonda team. So, you know, looking back on the season, what did you and your staff and your players take away that you're applying toward this season?
Well, you know, we did have a great season last year, 7-1, nothing to hang your head about. You know, obviously drew a tough round matchup with Newell. I think they ended up bowing out in the quarterfinals to the eventual state champ. But, you know, we lose a lot. We graduate nine seniors that contributed a lot to the program. A few guys, more than a handful, were probably three-year starters. So, we're learning a lot as we go. You know, we play a week zero game, so we're going to practice here tonight in about 45 minutes. So this is our week two already, where everybody else, a lot of people kicked off yesterday. We're already a week and 2 days in.
What can you tell us, Coach Eastman, about what goes in logistically to scheduling a week zero game? Because I think, you know, it's a nice novelty, whether it's college football or high school football, just to get it a week earlier than the majority of teams. But can you take us maybe behind the scenes a little bit on what all goes into that?
It's a nightmare. It's really a nightmare. You know, last week was supposed to be camp week. We had prepped for camp week all summer long. That we were going to have camp Monday through Thursday last week, have our golf outing on Friday. And then we found out that our first week opponent wasn't going to have football. And luckily for us, GMG reached out to us, and we were able to make it work after the state approved it. So they were supposed to play Meskwaki week three. So now we're both playing week zero. But now instead of running camp last week, and the week before that was a dead week, so we weren't allowed contact with the players. So then we just started right into practice last Monday. Got after it. The worst part so far that we've had going on, I didn't get football helmets until yesterday.
No.
Because they hadn't come back from being reconditioned yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really kind of like in our day two also, but it's really our eighth day of practice. So second day of helmets today, and we just keep going forward. You know, we're lucky that we were able to get this week zero game. You know, when the state downsized your season from 9 to 8, you hate to lose another game just in case you don't make the playoffs, you know what I mean? So grateful for GMG wanting to play week zero. I'm sure they're scrambling just like we are, but hey, this is all for the kids, and that's what we're about.
Hey, I feel like I need to send a care package. I got one of those stress balls here in the studio. I could loan it to you if you'd like.
You know, that's funny because I went down to my football office on Sunday afternoon and my stress ball had somehow exploded.
No,
and inside that thing is like some of the most stickiest goo you've ever experienced in your life. And like, yeah, it ruined a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm just like, how is this happening? But yeah, so good times.
We'll get you hooked up, Coach. You're obviously in need of one. Janesville High School football coach Dale Eastman, our guest right now on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Let's back up, maybe talk about something before the stress of a week zero game hit, and that would be summer lifting, summer conditioning. Coaches talk all the time, rightfully so, about how important that segment of the calendar is for building a good football team. So what can you say about your program and then the participation in it?
You know, we started a program with Kilo Fit out of Cedar Falls last fall, And so Jacob Clark comes in 3 days a week, and he's done an outstanding job with speed and agilities and getting the kids into lifts and teaching them properly and getting things going that way. So, you know, we had a really good summer. Numbers could always be better. You know, you have vacations and you have this and that and other things, people working. But, you know, for a majority, you know, we average probably about 60% of the team all the time. We always had those guys in here. Always want more, but you take what you can get on any given day to help make your football team better. So looking forward to seeing what they've done. You know, you can tell in just like some of the sprinting and stuff last week when we were getting stuff ready that the boys are benefiting from a year with the strength coach, and hopefully it continues as the younger kids now are getting involved into it.
That's great to hear. When it comes to preseason camp, what stuck out so far about this team?
What really jumps out at us is that we play 8-player, and we only have 7 juniors and seniors combined.
Ooh.
So we're going to be pretty young. We're going to count heavily on a sophomore class to step up and play.
Mm-hmm.
And even of those 7 kids that are upperclassmen, you know, really only one comes back with a whole lot of experience as far as the starter roles are concerned. We have a couple other kids who played quite a bit last year, but only one really starter is back. So definitely going to be an inexperienced ball club, and we're going to see how it goes.
With that in mind, Coach Eastman, what can you say with regard to, okay, we've got a lot of new faces and new places, and you know, we've kind of established how we like to go about our business on offense and defense, but with so many new guys and young guys, do you maybe have to be a little bit more flexible in terms of, you know, what schemes and concepts you put them in so you can, you know, make sure that, you know, every Friday night they got their best chance to get a W?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think some of it does determine, you know, maybe our playbook on offense is a little bit smaller. You know, we're just going to run the plays that we're mm-hmm. really, really confident in. You know, you're not going to throw certain stuff at them until you have it ready in practice to rep on a Friday night. You know, the goal is to never put a kid out there in a place to fail. So us as a coaching staff, if that means we can only run 4 plays, I guess that means we're only going to be able to run 4 plays. But then that comes back to us as a coaching staff in prepping them, getting them ready. You know, we start June 1st with some 5-on-5 stuff. We went to a camp at Central where we were able to do some offensive install and stuff like that. So we are moving along well.
Yeah.
You know, the offensive line is always one of the hardest things to get gelled together. They're starting to come together. Our quarterback, Keegan Eastman, is back. He started the last 4 games last year after Dodd broke his foot.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have an experienced quarterback coming back. So that's nice. He knows the offense. He was starting it wide receiver before Dodd went down. So Keegan knows our offense, you know, as well as our offensive coordinator. So no worry about that aspect of it. Maybe you worry a little bit about him making the right read at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, he's also 17 years old, and he's got guys breathing down his neck. So.
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to the defense, you know, as you've touched on here, graduated so much. 7 of your top 8 tacklers, to be specific. So, I mean, what's it like? You talked about the offense and the quarterback spot and everything, but, I mean, what you guys are in the bunker every night trying to figure defense out, aren't you?
You got that right. You're in a bunker every night trying to figure out defense and 8-man anyway.
Yeah.
Now you lose 7 of your top 8 tacklers. That makes everything a whirlwind. You know, the goal is just to make sure you're getting hats to the ball. You know, we do a lot of pursuit drill type things, making sure that the guys understand that, you know, he can't outrun all 8 of us. If we take the right angles, if we wrap up, if we, you know, tackle hard, play good, hard, aggressive, wildcat football, and we're going to be just fine. Are we going to miss tackles? Sure. Are they going to throw over the top? Sure. Things are going to happen. Mistakes are going to happen. How do we bounce back from that on the next play? You know, on the kickoff, do we just lay down and let them recover it, or do we do something about it? You know, there's little things that we can do to tweak the mistakes that are going to happen
mm-hmm.
by kids who haven't had the opportunity to play on Friday nights. You know, we have a lot returning. Our sophomore class has 11 kids in it. You know, that's the big class. We have, you know, seven juniors and seniors, 11 sophomores, and 5 freshmen. So, you know, those 11 sophomores are going to weigh heavy on there. They're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And so are the juniors and seniors. But it's all about minimizing the mistakes, setting them up, and putting them in a good place so that we can have confidence on Friday night to come away with a W.
You know, Coach, you touched on there about, you know, keys to playing defense in 8-player football and also just how difficult it is. And, you know, what was that, 2020 that we had the Montezuma game in the Dome where it was like 104-90 and
right,
900
right.
yards of offense. It sure seems to me, from having watched it pretty close now for the last 3-4 years, that 8-player football, it's evolving, it's growing, it's becoming a higher level product in terms of what it means to the game of football. Would you agree with all that? Because it sure seems to me like there's really something to have witnessed in the 8-player game over its body of work in the last, you know, maybe half decade or so.
Yeah, I for sure agree with that. You know, I mean, I think a lot of times there were a lot of towns that were like, oh, no, we can't play 8-man football or 8-player football. We're an 11-player school, you know, like we've got tradition. Whereas now they've realized that some of those schools aren't able to compete as well as they used to be because, you know, Class A or whatever still has really good football. And, you know, 8-player was looked down upon in the fact that it's not real football. Well, you know what? We still put our pants on and our shoulder pads and helmets just like everybody else does.
Yeah.
I think it's helped that we've had some kids that have gone on to big things. Spencer Brown from Lennox, Iowa, played 8-player football.
Yep.
You know, he's Buffalo Bill now. Nate Meyer started at defensive end for the Iowa Hawkeyes a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Greenway, I believe, played 8-player or 9-player football in South Dakota. So there's some guys now that have done a lot of good things that have played 8-player football. So just because you're from small town Iowa or South Dakota or something like that doesn't mean you can't make big strides.
Finally, Coach, I've been asking everybody this since we began our back to camp series on the show, leading up to the start of the high school football season here. Are you the type of coach where you come up with a motto before like summer workouts or maybe fall camp, or are you the type of coach where it's like, all right, I'll make a big speech at the start of camp and then let's just go play ball?
Yeah, I'm just let's make a big speech and let's go play football. You know, we did kind of adopt. You know, Fridays are for the Wildcats this year. Put that on our shirts this year. I think my first hashtag or my first tweet about football season last week, I did hashtag Fridays are for the Wildcats. So that kind of is the motto this year. But right now it's Tuesday, and so Tuesday night is for the Wildcats because we have 3 hours of practice to make ourselves a better football team. So that's what I'm looking forward to tonight, and hopefully I have 23 guys out here ready to go just like I am.
What's your handle on Twitter? I got to make sure. It looks like we're following you.
I'm pretty sure I'm following you. You're following me.
All right, great. I wanted to make sure that we got our T's crossed and I's dotted on that.
That's right, @VilleFBHC for all those listening that want to follow.
All right, let's get Coach Eastman some followers, people, all right? @VilleFBHC, okay? Some good some good content on here, Coach. You got a pretty strong Twitter game.
Yeah, thanks. I do my best. I follow a lot of good, knowledgeable people, and I just do a lot of retweeting.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do, okay?
That's right.
Coach, thanks so much. It's a pleasure catching up with you, and I'll make sure and get a stress ball in the mail, okay?
All right. Thanks, Cole. Thanks for having us on today. It's always great to talk Wildcat football with you guys and get out there in the Cedar Valley. Go Cats.
Absolutely. Likewise. Take care, Coach.
Thanks.
Janesville High School football coach Dale Eastman, kind enough to join us on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Coach sounds like he's a little stressed out. David?
Just a bit.
He exploded his stress ball. I didn't know anybody's ever done that in the history of stress balls, but that's too bad. Meskwaki not playing football this year, so they lose that game, and then thankfully the Iowa High School Association hooks it up. And trouble is, it's a week zero game. So, and it was pretty late in the game that it sounds like Meskwaki found out they weren't going to be able to field a football team this year. But best of luck, best of health to Coach Eastman and the Wildcats. given some, you know, some obstacles already in their way. Football's all about adversity, and they're just encountering it a little earlier than everybody else. So let's take this time out. We'll get you a Radio Iowa Sportscast with Todd Kim, and then come back on the other side. Continue back to camp. We'll go from 8-player to Class 1A. Denver High School football coach Rhett Barrett joins us next, right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. The Chicago Cubs and Cincinnati Reds will play on the Field of Dreams in Dyersville Thursday night. Tonight, two Iowa clubs collide. It'll be the first ever minor league baseball game on the field between the Quad Cities River Bandits and the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Former Waukee High School standout Matt Mullenbeck is one of the Colonels' pitchers. He tells KCRG-TV that even though he grew up in Iowa, it'll be the first time he's visited the movie site.
Throughout my baseball career, one of the first questions I get is just like, have you been to the Field of Dreams? So being able to play in it is going to be pretty cool.
Both teams have changed their names to honor throwbacks in their respective cities, so it'll actually be the Davenport Blue Sox versus the Cedar Rapids Bunnies. The team that's now the Colonels was the Bunnies up through the 1930s. Also in baseball action tonight, the Iowa Cubs are at home in International League play to take on Louisville. Todd Kim, Radio Iowa Sports.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
When your child is in crisis mode, your whole family springs into action. But what if that emergency is beyond your ability to solve all on your own? That's when you need someone trained in family crisis management, someone who cares, someone who won't judge. Hello, I am Natalie Clapp of Families First Counseling Services, and no matter the cause, our therapists and behavioral health specialists of Families First Counseling Services will join you and your family to help find the solutions. We can meet with you virtually through telehealth, or you can come to our office, whichever you prefer. We'll support you to get to the other side of this. Families First Counseling Services of Iowa is dedicated to the process of partnering with families today to help foster growth and success tomorrow. Visit us online at families-first.net, and remember, Families First cares.
Serving over 40 counties, their family care coordinators help entire families deal with the daily stress of life. Families First Counseling Services in Waterloo.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Cole Bear. Follow Cole on Twitter at RealColeBear.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. We continue our Back to Camp series, as last week we began with the four Metro high school football teams, and we have gotten outside of the Metro this week. And today on the show earlier, you heard from Janesville high school football coach Dale Eastman. Right now, we turn our attention from 8-player to Class 1A as Denver High School football coach Rhett Barrett is our guest right now. Coach Barrett, how you doing today? Thanks for joining the show.
Hey, it's always good to be on the show because you know it's football season.
Amen, man. And can't wait to learn more about your Cyclones. You're coming off a really good season, 7-1 last year. And I know you guys came up short of, you know, what your goals were, losing in the first round to what proved to be a really good MFL Marmac team. But let's start there. When you look back on all the success and maybe the very, you know, small amount of shortcomings from last season, Coach Barrett, what were the takeaways that you and your staff and your players are applying to this 2022 season?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we had to be, we had to get ourselves in better shape and be more disciplined and be able to handle adversity a little bit better than what we did last year. To me, that was what kind of caused our early exit. We didn't do the little things good enough. And so that's this year, that's kind of our focus, get in better shape, create really good discipline and structure in practice, and just, you know, focus on every little detail that we can.
Hearing you talk, Coach Barrett, about attention to detail, getting in better shape, it goes right into my next question, which is, you know, as cliche as it may sound at this point, summer workouts, lifting, conditioning, you hear coaches talk about that's really when you're winning games. It makes the difference in September, October, November. So what would you say with regard to, you know, the participation and the work that got done with your summer lifting and conditioning program?
You know, our strength and conditioning program was really good this summer. Our guys were there. They're starting to understand what lifting is all about, the conditioning, you know, the steps and stepping properly and how to chase, how to run, how to lift, all that kind of stuff. I think we've really improved our mindset over the years. And I think every year we take a step, and this year we took another one. We had some kids that could have probably been there more, and we had some kids that, you know, they don't miss. So, you know, I think in high school it's pretty much like that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people have family issues and family stuff that they have to go to. And so, you know, it's not a college where you own them. But I really felt that we took a step up this summer.
Denver High School football coach Rhett Barrett, our guest right now on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company as our back-to-camp series continues with coach interviews. Rhett, you've had some preseason camp practices under your belt, so what can you tell us about how your Cyclones are looking here in the early going?
Well, we have a really solid group of 18 to 20 kids of upperclassmen. A couple sophomores sprinkled in there as well. We were solid up front. We've got good size, and they're very athletic on the O-line, D-line. And, you know, we have good skill players as well, so on both sides of the ball. And a couple of them are inexperienced, but we can teach them that and get them that experience. You know, we went to Upper Iowa team camp, and they really learned there a lot. So we have a good nucleus coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not trying to make you, you know, pull your hair out, but when I say, Rhett, that, hey, you got a game in 17 days, how's that strike you?
We'll be ready. I can tell you that right now. Wopsy's working hard, too, just like we are. And but if we had to, we could play a game today. It wouldn't look very pretty, but we could do it. We got our base stuff in, and our guys know what they're doing, where they're supposed to go. We could do it. Now we just have to, like I said earlier in the interview, you got to work on those little things and keep getting better. Focus on that conditioning and the discipline part of it when you're tired.
And hearing you talk about being ready for a game, albeit wouldn't necessarily be pretty, I've been asking this question to coaches about, as you go through a preseason camp, how fluid is it year by year with, okay, we know we got to get this segment, this section of camp devoted to fundamentals and technique, but when do you make the decision? And like I mentioned, how fluid is it to, you know, transition from that toward we got to start installing offense, defense, and getting into, you know, those type of things with our preseason camp?
Well, we have, you know, our quarterbacks returning, our tailbacks returning, we have returning receivers, we got line return. So, you know, they know the playbook and our terminology pretty good. Now you got to break it down. You know, you can, you still work on that stuff, but you work the fundamentals, and that's where, to me, you work the little things. Where it's hard is where if you got, you know, only one or two returning starters, and then you got to start from scratch. You know what I mean? And that's always a challenge, too.
Yeah.
I think that's harder, where we're bringing back a fair amount of kids, and so we can really, as a team, work those fundamentals and the little things, like I said. So it's a fine line, but it's kind of fun to play it like this when you know you got some kids coming back, and It's almost like having extra coaches on the team too, because they can help your younger kids and in fundamental groups and that.
With having experienced skill players back, how much does that create, and this might be a little bit unfair of a word, but the temptation, I don't want that to come off the wrong way, but the temptation, if you will, to maybe add a little bit in terms of wrinkles or maybe like another concept?
Yeah, I definitely, we can do that. I usually don't do that too early. You know, I want to, I always kind of, I don't know how I judge it. It's just me. I kind of, and our coaches talk about it. But right now, we're just kind of getting the basics in, our basic offense, defense, you know, our special teams. Mm-hmm. And once that looks good, then we can maybe elevate it a little bit here and there. But, you know, when I said we could play a game, I said it wouldn't be pretty, so we wouldn't have those extras in yet. But, you know, next week we can maybe start playing with that stuff a little bit. Because our guys know what they're doing, and we can take out and add a little bit here and there.
A few more minutes here with Denver High School football coach Rhett Barrett on Tuesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. Coach, you touched on, you know, the returning skill players, Ty Bradley at quarterback, Ethan Scoville at running back. I have to imagine you and those two themselves have big expectations, both on and off the field.
They do. You know, they're great kids in school. On the field, solid leaders, and they just really have come a long ways, and those guys worked hard in the summer program, you know, and then even up front, you got Logan Beatty and Chris Hazlett kind of leading that charge, and they had a really solid camp at Upper Iowa, and they look good, and we even have some extra other guys that can get her done as well. So it's kind of an exciting thing. To see where these guys are, and we can push a little bit harder in practice and have a little bit higher expectations for them. You always have high expectations, but here these guys understand what you're doing, so you can push them a little bit harder. And, you know, maybe where they didn't see a read last year, now they're throwing the ball harder and mm-hmm. making the reads and, you know, just doing the little things that we've got to do that maybe hurt us last year a little bit. Now we can get better at that.
Looking at the defensive side of the ball, you had about 9-10 seniors that graduated who are among around your top 12 tacklers last yeah. season. So is it safe to say, Rhett, that there's a lot of competition and a lot of attention being paid to that side of the ball right now?
There is. You know, there was. And we put some time in there, and we'll continue to do that. You know, our secondary was very senior driven, and you know, our linebackers and that, but we've got kids that are coming right up in the ranks that got some playing time as well. Yeah, they were the leading tacklers that are gone, but the kids that we have that got some time, I think they will surprise some people, and I think they're going to be ready.
It sounds like you've got a good idea of what your personnel are going to look like, and what would you say in terms of how you can scheme them into success? Is it going to be much different than years past in terms of, you know, how their skill sets relate to how you like to typically go about playing Cyclones defense?
Yeah, I really do. I think we can tweak it. They're athletic enough, so we can do some stuff that we did. We can, you know, even add a little bit more because they're very athletic and they're very smart. And the thing that I feel like we didn't have the last few years was as a team, we weren't very cohesive. And here we have a group that's very cohesive, smart, athletic, and has some experience. I mean, there's some, but we have enough experience that we can sprinkle it in with some help. So, I think they are, it's going to be kind of a dynamic group.
Last thing, Rhett, I've been asking coaches this because whether it's at the start of fall camp or at the start of off-season training, a lot of coaches will come up with that year's or that season's motto, slogan, creed, whatever you want to call it. Are you that type of coach? Are you like a motto coach or a slogan coach? Or are you more the type like, I'll make a big speech at the start of the camp and then let's just go play ball?
That's a little bit. I'm not a big motto guy. Last year losing the NFL really hurt. Mm-hmm. And the MFL is a great team. They deserve to win. They beat us. I'm not taking anything away from them. But
I felt like we kind of took a step back there, and I think a lot of our guys, seniors, felt the same way. And kind of our motto is a little bit of unfinished business. I mean, that's not official, but that's what we talk about in practice and how we've got to get more disciplined and be able to climb that ladder every week to keep getting better and better. And if we do that, I think good things will come to this team.
I would agree. You got a lot back, and you guys have just been such a top-shelf program now for a number of years, Rhett. So, like always, a real pleasure to learn more about your team and to be talking with you. As I mentioned, that means it's football season, so best of luck, best of health to your guys, and we'll be sure to get you back on the show at some point here during the season.
Look forward to that. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, take care, Rhett.
I'm Kayla Burton with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. He has the longest made field goal of all time. Well, now Justin Tucker is the highest paid kicker in NFL history, too. The All-Pro signed a 4-year extension with Baltimore Monday worth $24 million. More good news for the Ravens. Running back J.K. Dobbins was activated off the physically unable to perform list and practiced for the first time since tearing his ACL last August. In other news, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reports Baker Mayfield appears to have the inside track at winning the Panthers' starting quarterback job. Both Mayfield and Sam Darnold have been splitting first-team reps at camp, and head coach Matt Rhule says he'd like to play both quarterbacks in Saturday's preseason opener against Washington. And the Saints are monitoring their starting QB, Jameis Winston, after he left practice Monday with what head coach Dennis Allen called a, quote, tweaked foot. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I'm Roger from Metro Transmission and Auto Repair. We've been servicing cars and trucks for over 35 years, and our customers know us for low prices and quality work. From oil changes to brakes to transmission work, we'll get you back on the road with confidence, and we won't sell you a repair you don't really need. So if your car or truck is not running as it should be, bring it to Metro Transmission and Auto Repair on West 10th between Jefferson and 218 in Waterloo.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. When the Brooklyn Nets superstar Kevin Durant requested a trade, it was clear he wanted out of Brooklyn. But the reason has remained a mystery. Many assumed it was due to Kyrie Irving. And while that may still be a factor, a reason for the 12-time All-Star's displeasure was finally revealed yesterday. It was reported Durant has told the owner, Joe Tsai, it's either him or head coach Steve Nash and GM Sean Marks. In sports, players and management clash all the time. We've seen that at Manchester United with Cristiano Ronaldo and Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. This situation's different. The Nets management has done everything for Kevin Durant. They signed Kyrie, DeAndre Jordan, traded for James Harden, hired Nash after Durant endorsed him, and have spent well into the luxury tax in multiple seasons. Brooklyn has bent over backwards to keep Kevin Durant happy. And Marks and Nash, they're not perfect, but when you see what the Nets have done for Durant, it's hardly fair to put all of Brooklyn's failures on them. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. There's no sign of identity theft slowing down, and why should it when you consider $14 billion were stolen from identity theft victims last year alone? To cyber criminals, it's a success story. To the rest of us, it should be a wake-up call. Your personal information is in more places now than ever, and all of that exposure can make it dangerously easy to steal your identity. LifeLock by Norton makes it easy to help protect you and your identity, monitoring your identity, and alerting you to threats that you could miss on your own. If you become a victim, a U.S.-based LifeLock restoration specialist will be dedicated to take your case and work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but everyone can save up to 25% off their first year. 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Make sure you use the promo code Patrick. So 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com, you're going to save up to 25% off your first year. Once again, promo code Patrick at LifeLock.com.
You are listening to the one-stop shop for local and statewide sports talk. Cole and Company with Cole Bear. Weekday afternoons from 5 to 6 on The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on this Tuesday. A lot of fun catching up with all the metro and area high school football coaches. In case you missed it today, Janesville High School football coach Dale Eastman joined us in the second segment today, give us a preview of the Wildcats 2022 season And then we just got done talking with Denver High School football coach Rhett Barrett about the Cyclones. Both teams coming off 7-1 seasons. If you missed it, it'll be available shortly in podcast form at 1650thefan.com. Cubs Nationals coming up 6:30 tonight with the pregame, 7:05 first pitch. I will be back tomorrow at 5 for the last show of the week. Taking a little bit more vacay before settling back in. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.